Right, we'll reconvene the meeting and move to item 10.1, Chairperson's Report. I'll take it as read, other than making two comments. Firstly, the Otago Balanced Farm Environment Awards field day. I'm not sure whether we know when the date is there yet. The winners were going on holiday in May, the normal time that the field day would occur, but it would be a fantastic day, a very interesting property in the Strathtyre. So we'll let you know about that. And the dry weather heading, look, there's been a bit of rain, things have greened up, and there's been a bit more rain the last few days. It's getting a bit late enough now, we don't need any more, but I think we're through the worst of it, but we just hope for a mild winter across the whole of the Southern South Island, actually. And so, yeah, any questions on my Chair's report? Great. Chief Executive's report.
That's not fair. We went too fast. I'll take my report as read. I just wanted to comment about the Climate Change Response Zero Carbon Amendment Bill. So my report comments on the PCE's report. And after I'd written it, I went back through and looked at the bill. It's important to us, I guess, because it sets a limit of 1.5 degrees increase in temperature over the next 30 years and net zero emissions by 2050. And possibly, in our context, one of the things that is important is a 10% decrease in methane by 2030 and then 24 to 47% decrease by 2050. And also the establishment of the Climate Change Commission. I guess in thinking about that, one of the things that I think we need to think about at a future time is our own carbon footprint and our mitigation of that. So we'll be obviously following the development of the legislation as it proceeds, but that seems to be the government's overall response so far.
Thank you, Mrs. Gardner. Councillor Lawton, questions?
Yeah, can I also ask, I guess, about an opportunity for Otago Regional Council to join with some of the other councils in declaring a state of climate emergency. It's certainly something that I would support. I think it shows that we at least agree that this is an issue and it needs to be taken seriously. And I think that kind of clarity to central government about this issue from a regional level is a good one, and we could even invite our TA members to think about that as well.
Sure.
So I agree with that.
Just to give you a bit more information about that, Environment Canterbury and Nelson City Council are considering declaring a climate emergency this week, I understand. It's not an emergency in terms of our emergency management functions for civil defence, but it is an opportunity, I guess, to highlight that climate change is one of our key priorities, to let us really cement our position on climate change, to reinforce our leadership and the good work that we already do, particularly in relation to issues that we're facing and our proposed acceleration of our climate change program over the next 12 months. And likewise, I think, you know, it challenges us to think about our own footprint. So, yes, it is a mechanism that other councils are using. It's just really important that we distinguish between declaring a climate emergency and what that, you know, and that doesn't mean it's a effectively an emergency that requires a response as in under civil defence legislation.
I think they need to look up the dictionary.
Yeah, I think they need to. It would be better if they dropped the word emergency out of the conversation. But anyway, Councillor Laws.
Yeah, I'm sort of a bit nervous because I think that this is clearly a central government responsibility and needs to be led from that agency. we can do our best to mitigate climate change, I think, in our region. And I'm really interested that you went to see Simon here, Simon Upton, who has made this science decision around separating fossil from sort of non-organic, if you like, climate change. Have you got any feeling if there is any other legislation apart from that that is being promoted that will accompany the government agenda at the moment?
No, I don't. There's nothing that I'm aware of, and as my report says, at the time that I was listening to the PCE, he was unclear about how the government would respond to.
To what he said?
Yes.
Right, any further questions of the Chief Executive's report? Councillor Lawton?
Just clarifying with your discussion with Ms. Bidrose from DCC about the overflows and new plan, what exactly are you referring to?
Yes. At the moment, we are undertaking a joint exercise where we're looking at the types of overflows that occur across Dunedin as a result of heavy rain events, and looking at how we can work together to achieve incremental improvement over time. So basically it's a consideration of what the current consents look like, what DCC's current work program looks like, and already as a result of the work that we've been doing together, they've spent, Ms. Bidrose would be able to give you exact details, but I believe they spent a significantly greater amount of money on improvements to their system this year than was planned.
The overflows of stormwater, backwater?
Yes. What happens generally is that the stormwater and sewage mixes together and overflows. And there are a number of consents that exist at the moment for discharges into the Kaikorai stream, for example. So it's, you know, it's absolutely a way of working together to improve the system as it stands.
And these early conversations and responses from not just DCC are a result of our urban water quality discussions.
Yes, they are. They are. And I think, I think just a recognition that, incremental improvement is required over time, and that we need to have consents that will allow for that to happen, as opposed to some of the consents we may have at the moment, which are quite permissive and don't necessarily require improvement.
And a culmination of these efforts will actually be embedded in the new water plan when we do include water quality, urban water quality?
I think that's definitely a conversation to be had, yes.
Mm. Yep. All right. I'll move that the chairpersons and chief executives' reports are received. Seconded, Councillor Roberts. And all in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Carried. On to 11.1, page 12 of your agenda, ordering of candidate names on our voting documents. Thank you. Doesn't need to be any debate.
I'm going to vote against it.
So and let me moved and seconded discussion, Councillor Laws.
Let me explain why. Do we really think that our electors are morons? Because that is essentially what this motion is saying.
I don't see that word anywhere.
No, I know. But the implication of both paper and recommendation is that they are. I don't know. There is this, what they call the donkey vote, which is the theory that you vote for the persons at the top of the table. I've been around a long time. I've never seen that in operation in parliamentary or in regional or in district or in DHB. I've seen a lot of confusion, and I'm struggling with the principle behind this. I haven't seen any proof, and that's why I'm not voting for this, Alec. I haven't seen any proof to justify the principle. Where's the... You show me that this relates to an unjustifiable outcome or an advantage. And can I just say, I've just gone through very quickly the six candidates I know who are standing in the Dunstan ward. I won't be in the top three on alphabetical, so there's...
Oh, alphabetical.
But, you know...
Change your name to Aardvark.
But what I'm trying to say is, if you're going to come up with a change in policy, you've got to have a reasonable or rational basis or empirical basis to do so. Where
it's
is it?
Councillor Scott, it's not a change in policy.
Well, it's a change in
the choice.
Voting order.
Second sentence. The limited research carried out on this issue in both New Zealand and international elections confirmed the possibility of advantage for candidate system in the top part of any alphabetically ordered list. As the recommendation of candidate order is one of the few remaining decisions elected members are required to make in the election process, more local authorities are moving away from using this method to remove that perception of bias. I mean, for goodness sake. There it is. And that's from a councillor with a surname starting with S.
A study? That isn't research.
Order, Councillor Lawton.
Well, it's more than what you've got.
Sorry, yeah. Fair enough to.
Councillor
Lawton. When running for election, I heard a lot of very silly reasons why people did vote for me, including my photo was a good one and I had the biggest billboards. I didn't hear anyone say that it was because I was at the top of the list. On the other hand, there is no financial implications. There is no impact about having it randomised. And it would seem that maybe we're just covering all of our bases, so I'll be voting for it.
Correct. Good reminder. There's a decision to be made. We've got some choices. So, anybody else wish to speak?
No.
All I'd like to add, and I think I've said this in the past during this discussion, that I got over being at the bottom of the list at primary school. But with a surname starting with W, Councillor Scott, I didn't have to look at my name to remember.
A few other things you didn't get over.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Possibly.
That is harsh.
Right, I'm going to. The recommendations have been moved and seconded. I'm going to put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against?
No.
Carry. All right. Paper 11.3.
Yeah.
Disposal of poison services.
Peter.
Mr. Winder, so we're on.
Good afternoon.
We're on to your paper. Would you like to introduce it for us?
Sure. I hope this is reasonably straightforward. In one respect, this is housekeeping. In another, it's sort of end of an era stuff. The more that I have looked at the council's pest control operations, the more it has seemed to me that we have a range of assets from a different bit of operation that are underutilised / unused. And we also have a range of contractors who are anxious to get their hands in particular on the carrot cutters so that they can use them to expand their operations across Otago to be more effective at the market, and I think it's timely that the council considers what to do with these assets. In terms of my understanding of the sorts of policy issues that the council has considered around the role that it may play in the future with respect to pest control and rabbits in particular, it seems to me that there is every opportunity for the council to, on the one hand, dispose of these assets, and on the other hand, choose at some future point, if it wishes to have a role in pest control by purchasing control services from the market that would be created. Hopefully the rest of the paper is very self-explanatory, and I'm very happy to answer any questions.
Councillor Lawton.
Thanks, Peter. I just wanted to clarify, you are assuming, have you done some analysis around the need for the land? So one, the need from ORC for that land in Galloway versus the assets, and two, are you making a statement that the land would likely also go to a contractor? Because I do have concern about the fact of selling land without a conversation about whether or not that is a strategic asset and whether we may need to use that. The price of land in that area is going up considerably. It will be silly for us to sell it and then in 5 years realise we need it. So can you just answer the question around whether or not the land is included in the asset mix, which is obviously what it's in the recommendation, but are you seeing that that would be a requirement for contractors to have the land as well as the assets?
Certainly the proposal is to dispose of the whole of the site. In terms of our need for it, that's been canvassed within the organisation, and we were not able to identify any other use or purpose in holding that piece of land. The only facilities that are on it relate to the cooking of oats, which is an activity that we no longer participate. It would be possible to enter into a lease arrangement with the land, but there is a fair chance that there is a degree of contamination, certainly of the buildings associated with the poisons that were used there. So ongoing ownership brings with it the ongoing responsibility for dealing with those things. And the recommendation reflects the view we came to that it would be easier, cleaner and neater to exit it since we have no purpose.
Will we have to clean that land before we exit it?
The proposal would be to simply sell as is where is. And the value that we achieve for the site will reflect the potential contamination.
Councillor Laws.
I'm struggling to see why we'd make a decision now to do with pest management when we're still waiting to make the policy. And so, and I'm thinking to myself, because I'm one of those who, particularly as a result of our presentation today, believe that we should be reintroducing ourselves into active pest management, particularly around rabbits. And I'll have that policy argument at some time down the line, I guess. But what we're actually doing is we're now deciding that we're going to get rid of that particular functionality when we may make a decision to in actual fact, use this device. Now, what we've been told is, oh, well, you can always contract that service. It'll be more expensive, and you'll pay for it, and that's the whole point of those people wanting that service, because they're going to make money out of it. So I just wonder if this is a motion, Stephen, that we should be looking at after or as a consequence of the input into our public input into our pest management strategy and our decisions on that. That's all I am asking.
I purposefully didn't get anybody to move a second the recommendations at this point because I just wanted to have this discussion. So we'll come back to Councillor Bell.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have studied this report quite seriously. I have a vision that we need to take this back to the community because there is community ownership there. Just so Councillor Lawton is aware that site, which is old tailings levelled out at Galloway, was owned by Rabbit Boards, and we inherited it. We didn't pay for it. We inherited it under the government law when it changed in 1990, whatever it was, one or whatever
80,
it was. 80,
yeah, 89 actually. Yes.
89.
Yeah.
89 was when amalgamation was, but it was a year or so after that the right, rabbit boards right. were deleted, Mr. Chairman. I think we've got to. What I would like to see is this report just received today. And that the blessing of this council, that we actually go back to the community with through our reference group, pest reference group, and have that broader discussion and bring on into that discussion Richard and Haynes, and also to bring in interested people from the community. Tonight I will be at 7:30 at the annual meeting of the Maniototo Pest Destruction Company's annual meeting. They've invited me to be there to get to understand a little bit more about their operation. And I certainly would like to see that model expanded. Richard and I have had some discussions. He has told me that there is a contractor that wants one machine for parts, and I think I'm saying that correctly, but Richard can confer on that. That contract lives outside the region but does a lot of work inside the region and would see the value of a carrot cutter. But what I would like to see is that we actually go back to our community and ask them, how do they see it?
and what they like to see with this gear, how it should be distributed or used. And the way I could see it is that it could be owned by a community and leased out to their provider, being a contractor, and that keeps that competitiveness in there. As one farmer pointed out to me, who incidentally was the man that perhaps set up the Maniototo pest company, and some councillors will know who I'm speaking about, he said to me that the reason that they did that was that they knew there was only one way of being able to get the best possible deal, and that was for them to manage and run it. We may have moved on a bit from then, I'm not sure, but I do believe that the ownership structure of the plant and the land could well be taken up by the community, and that they may well have an interested party being a contractor providing their ongoing work. I see a very strong involvement from our ORC biosecurity team, led by Richard and his staff, to be still heavily involved in a way that they manage the as a regulator and see that there is a process happening out there. And I've said it before around this table, we've got a problem in the Arrowtown Junction area at Ferrymead Road there, where we've got a lot of lifestyle blocks and two or three farmers caught in the middle of it, and they're having problems. But we need some money, and we need those people to lead that process, and that needs to be us. We need to be seen to be leaders. And I sent you, Mr. Chairman and Sarah, an email back on the 9th of April, and I'm just going to quickly read it to you, and it gives you the impression, slightly different than what I'm talking about, but just her impression of how she sees the service that's been previously provided by Regional Council out of Cromwell.
And this is a landowner?
Pardon?
This is a landowner, just
yes,
to clarify.
Yep. It's the owner of River Run, and her name is Meg Taylor, which you had have a copy of that.
Yes,
and as does
I just want to clarify for everybody's...
I'm dismayed to hear that the Otago Regional Council is pulling out a previous excellent Cromwell-based service providing pindone lace carrot for rabbit control in the Cromwell and Upper Clutha region. Rabbits in the area are at an all-time high, and I cannot think of a worse time for the ORC to apparently wash its hands of control. This is a service whereby farmers pay for the carrot and the spreading of the ORC coordinate the supply of both carrot and pindone. It provides both tried and tested and a safe method of control with close to no effect to any other species compared with other methods. Farmers in the area are at their wits and end to as how to control the rabbits, and the explosion of the rabbit population is also having an effect on non-farmers and town residents. At a time when the ORC, and she's probably thinking of Albert Town, at the time when ORC should be coordinating groups, DOC, in brackets, DOC, local and landowners, etc., and I believe that that's what we have to do, to ensure the best rabbit control and regaining local confidence after the virus debacle, the ORC is choosing to shut down and walk away from its responsibilities as the major reason for existence, pest control. I have just had an ORC-initiated ferret control program to go through my property. There is little point in spending money on ferret control whilst having rabbit population explode. ORC rates go up significantly each year. I expect to see the services provided by council to at the least be maintained, if not expanded. Local conservationists and farming groups need to combine to request that the ORC continue the Cromwell Pindone program and enhance it by funding their staff to coordinate it and the landowners' efforts in order to gain some control over the pest situation in Central Otago. This is not even what I would imagine an expensive program, as it is largely involves coordination and costs are passed on to the end users, the farmer. For the ORC to abdicate from their responsibilities in this way would be outrageous, and I hope that they will quickly reconsider the timing of this decision. Meg Taylor. I'm just saying that these things should be taken into consideration either in our pest plan, or I would like to see this committee set up that we're running with it, because I don't believe a lot of it's going to come out of the pest plan and we need to be dealing with it now. It has been informed to me by Richard, that there is a sense of urgency with a lot of the carrot cutters. I called into Wanaka last Monday, and the three carrot cutters sitting there, and I didn't actually realise that some of them had been purchased from Whanganui Environmental Council, or whoever it is, because they had their stickers on it. But what I did see was there was a lot of five-scale, McLean-scale rabbit dung in our yard where the three carrot cutters are, and I actually fell down a rabbit hole. What needs to happen there, we need to have rabbit-proof fencing around our own yard, setting a fine example of what other people should be doing, as in the lifestyle blocks and everywhere else. So I just want to say that we're not squeaky clean, and we also need to be a good advert to our public. So, Mr. Chairman, I just want to see us take this forward by giving it to a committee, whether it's the pest group, and that we can talk with Richard, because he has ideas, and Haynes, who are active on the field, and that also we get some community leaders out of the community. And I'm not talking about federated farmers or high country people. I'm talking about actual people that actually have rabbits and need to be a part of this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barr. Councillor Kempton.
Look, we don't need to overthink this thing, surely. over the last 9 years, my views on whether we should be in contracting and taking a contracting risk on behalf of our ratepayers has always been a dead no. I was delighted to see we don't kill possums anymore. I'd be delighted to see us sell every carrot cutter that we've ever had. At the moment, if we are cutting carrot, I would hate to think that we were supplying it to others at anything less than a market rate, because that means I'm subsidising rabbit reduction in Central Otago. That's not reasonable. And so I'm assuming that if we stop cutting it, someone else is going to cut it at about the same cost, market rates. And it seems to me that the whole question is whether we are in the business of running rabbit eradication contracting services. Never mind whether that's shooting the bunnies or cutting the carrot so that somebody else can throw it out of a helicopter. That's all part of the same deal. So from my point of view, it's one question. And if we're out of the business of eradication, then for God's sake, we don't need to be in the business of preparing the bait, because someone else is going to do that. I accept that it might be prudent, and I would support, just in case the panel that's hearing the pest plan decides to overturn the whole thing and say we should be shooting every bunny in Otago and no one else is allowed to, or we should be poisoning them and no one else is allowed to, then there might be a bit of an idea of whether or not we should keep a carrot cutter. So maybe we wait for 6 months. But on the other hand, I think it's a matter of we're in it or we're not. We're not half in it. We're not half out of it.
Councillor Robertson, then Councillor Brown.
Yeah, I tend to agree that timing at the moment isn't ideal, actually. We're getting into a debate that probably isn't that helpful ahead of the pest plan. And, it's something that can actually wait. We don't have to do it immediately. And the other point is correct that, whether this is actually true or not, but it is true. We inherited the machinery from the pest boards, and the community sees it in their eyes as theirs. So that's a slightly sensitive thing that we're all aware of. So that's going on in the background as well. But I don't think now's the time.
Mr. Brown?
Yeah, I agree. I think we should just hold off on this a wee bit and give the community a chance to have their say. Maybe they want to set up a Manitoba model in that area. There might be a willingness to do that. So I'd like to change the motion that this report, we received this report and it lie on the table, and that the IOC, consults with the community on the proposed sale, etc., etc., and that the Galloway land be part of the proposed sale. Number four.
All right. Sorry. Been a bit quick for Kim, but we'll come back there. Is there a seconder?
I think I would, but I'd like to know lie on the table until when. There needs to be a trigger date on there. Is it January next year or
operative pest plan?
it's sooner rather than later. There's two aspects of that recommendation, as I see it, Councillor Bowners. Firstly, the pest plan timing, but also there's, you mentioned some conversations with the community. Yeah. That'll take longer.
I'll second the motion, Mr. Chairman, but I just want to say that I don't believe it is exactly part of the pest plan, really, but it will be. It can be. It's wider than that.
Yeah, well...
It's an ownership structure, and we need that time to talk to the community, and we need to lead that discussion. And so
righto.
I'm happy with the motion.
Mrs. Gardner, you've heard the conversations.
Yep. I just wanted to be crystal clear about... where that leaves us. So we have had throughout the course of the annual plan workshops the discussion about the line that has been in the budget that was still called regional services, although we don't have a regional services. And in order to prepare the budget for the annual plan for this year, the conversation we had at that time was that there would be no budget for carrot cutting. So I just need to be really clear that we have no budget, we have no staff time allocated to that activity, and if we were going to do anything, I would need additional money, and also I would need to take a really close look at how we manage the ongoing health and safety of that issue.
Motion doesn't say to do anything.
I certainly wasn't suggesting that anyway at all. I'm just saying.
Sure, but I just wanted to be clear that the activity is not planned to be carried out at the moment. So, yes, we can hold on to the cutters. I'm not suggesting do anything different, but I'm just saying there's no resource and there's no budget to undertake that activity.
Yep. So,
could you reread the motion?
It wasn't on iwi representatives either.
How have you got on typing up those recommendations, Kim?
I got WESEC 2 and then I lost it. I'm actually pretty fast on it. So.
One, that we received this report and it lie on the table.
Yes.
Two stays the same. Three says that the ORC consults with the community on the proposed sale, etc., etc., etc. And four, that the Galloway land be part of the proposed sale, just for clarification.
All right. Two cents worth from me. I mean, we have the most rabbit-prone land in New Zealand now.
Yep.
Unfortunately, and the same areas in Canterbury have now got irrigation on them, and they don't have the risk. And there are some significant challenges with rabbit control. We learnt a lot today. That was an amazing catch-up on the science and the detail around that. The market... Councillor Kempton, and these sorts of jobs struggles at times because it's very spasmodic work, comes and goes, and we get a new variant of virus in, there might be 5 years where a carrot cutter is not actually needed, and then all of a sudden we've got a problem again. So contractors will go through an enthusiastic phase and then disappear, sometimes onto other things, sometimes they go broke. And so it's not as though it's steady work, carting gravel on a truck or digging ditches. It's very spasmodic, hard to deal with. And I'm not suggesting that ORC delivers on this stuff, but I think we've got a role to maintain ownership of some equipment that somebody else could operate or we hire out or whatever. I understand there's staffing issues, health and safety issues, but... it really concerns me that we would be at the whims of a market, and the market might be one contractor. So we've got plenty of sheds where we could stack maybe one or two carrot cutters. If somebody wants a carrot cutter, sell them one or two because we've got 11. How many do we need? I don't know. I can't answer that. I've got no, and I even don't understand the condition of them, but. One or two in reasonable nick and stick them in a shed somewhere and with an oat plough and a mixer or whatever else is required, a screen. But completely separate to this conversation, Ms Duckworth informally outside our meeting before said she relied on ORC's carrot cutter to supply good quality carrot for last year's release of the virus. Now, And the contractor that's been talked about doesn't actually reside in Otago, is my understanding. All right, so I struggle with the pure commercial model here a wee bit, Councillor Kempton.
That's what you told me 9 years ago.
Pardon?
That's what you said 9 years ago. It's the same script.
Yeah, it is. And the rabbits are still there. But we do need to have, and I agree with the recommendations, Councillor Brown, we do need to have a joined-up conversation with some landholders once we're clear on what the pest plan says. So allow that process to complete. And then we've got a role, in my view, around the monitoring, the regulatory involvement, and some education facilitation of landholders to come together. And the new pest plan, proposed pest plan that's going to hearings, has some extra controls on it to direct landholders to work together. Whereas previously, you've been able to pull out at the last minute and leave your neighbours exposed. So, you know, it wouldn't concern me if we sold a couple out of the 11 carrot cutters, but let's just defer as the recommendation says. This is a really challenging issue, and I agree with Councillor Kempton. Grandma and Stafford Street shouldn't be subsidising rabbit control in the wherever, but I think we've got a part to play in this that we're not taking into account during this paper.
And I think,
sorry, Mr. Winder.
Mr. Chairman, if we were able to adopt that Manaiatoto model throughout the rest
yep.
of our region, we would not be having that fear of the lady in Stafford Street or in South Dunedin
yep.
Subsidising or paying that.
Yep.
And that is why I'm suggesting that we do talk to these landowners now sooner than later, because rabbits don't stop breeding. They're breeding every day, and it is a major problem in our
yep.
particular area. They breed every 4 or 5 weeks, I think it is. It's not
yep.
very often.
Yep.
Right. Weeks, not much of a break. So all I'm just saying, while we're talking and delaying things, the rabbits are growing and
we understand.
So
we
just
understand.
Don't let it dribble out and go. So when's the pest plan going to come out?
So the hearings, Councillor Robertson, are in the June, early June.
Yeah.
And so we'll towards perhaps at our end of June meeting, we might be in a position. If not, the meeting after that.
Right, it's good, because yep. I'll need to express that to some people that are wanting to hear about this.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Been a good discussion. We're clear on the recommendations.
Yep.
No further comment. I'm going to put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. Thank you. Point 4, I think, if I jumped over. That's right. LGNZ rules. Has everybody had a chance to look at them? And the purpose of the report is to provide council with the recommendations are to receive the report, notes the proposed changes to the rules, appoints delegates to represent council at the AGM, and decides how council's representatives attending the AGM should vote on the proposed rule changes. And somewhere I made myself a note on what the rule changes actually are, and I just can't lay my hands on it at the moment. But anyway, open the... Mr. Donnelly, anything else you would like to add in the way of introduction?
No, there was... the rule changes were in the attachments.
Yes.
Primarily there was two around representation, and then
yes.
there was some technical changes. So
yes.
There wasn't anything to...
There was an upgrading, modernisation.
Yeah.
The representation was to allow for Auckland Council
right.
and for the acknowledgement of community board members as elected members.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's going to be... Is there two or three National Council members from Auckland, and one of them would be a local board member?
Yes.
Similar to that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Te Maritā.
On the Tamara, I need the word in front of me to pronounce it correctly. Tamara Aru Committee.
Tamarata.
Yeah. And allowing a position for them on the National Council. Was that correct? Yes, that's right. All righty.
I'm happy to move the recommendation.
Righto, and so in doing so, you're appointing Councillor Hope and myself and Mrs. Gardner as delegates at the AGM. Yep.
We have to decide how we're going to vote.
Any feedback on how you'd like us to vote?
I'd move that we give the chairman the option of representing us at the ORC and representing Otago interests.
Correct. We'll feedback how things go. Those of you who've been to the AGM recently, it's all electronic. It's quite
efficient.
It's efficient.
We'll get a chance to talk about the motions in the next meeting anyway, won't we?
Yes, no, there's separately, there's
the remits
that are coming will come, yes. So there'll be other remits at the AGM that will come to the next either committee meetings or council meetings, that's correct. All righty, no further discussion. I'll put the recommendations. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you.
Sorry, who seconded that? I missed that.
That's a good point, Brian.
Scott moved it, somebody said.
Councillor Robinson.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Right. Apologies. Delegation under 11.5 under the Flood Protection Management Bylaw. And the recommendation here is, Dr. Parner, that Council approves delegation to any General Manager, Regulatory General Manager, Operations and the Chief Executive to refund, remit or waive the whole or any part of a fee payable under the ORC Flood Protection Management Bylaw, Mrs. Gardner. So at the moment, there's no ability to remit the cost.
Right. There's no delegation.
When there's it's felt that there should be remitted. Mm-hmm. Councillor Lawton.
So just to be clear, where does the authority for a remit come from at the moment, or there isn't one? And so the question is, like, how often does this happen?
What's
Why do we...
Yeah.
Refund.
What's the issue?
Yeah, what's the issue? And because we've never had it, heard of it.
No, and can you give us some examples of where this pops up? Is it Mrs. Gardner or Dr. Palmer?
No. Yeah, it will be given or even.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it's rare, but it does happen. And we had an example of a month or two ago where staff needed to make a decision on a request to refund part of an application. And so this paper is giving staff the delegation to make that decision. Where circumstances have changed, for example, in the mind of the applicant.
Give us a bit more information.
Okay, so they've applied for a bylaw approval, and then there's been some other thing.
What might that be? For some councillors won't understand what
Chair, if I may help. The incident that Mr. Palmer's referring to was an application that involved works on a stock bank in a town that was to improve and provide a place for people to get on and off the river. Subsequently, we came along and did some further works to protect a stormwater access into the river at that point, which effectively precluded them from doing what they wanted to do. We thought it was reasonable, since we'd done the work, that their fee and application should be refunded, there's no mechanism for us to do that at present.
Thank you. That's very clear, Peter. Thank you. All right. I'm happy to move the recommendation. Is there a seconder? Councillor Deacon. No further discussion. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Over the page, activity review 12.1. Mr. Donnelly, and Mike's not here.
Yes, he is.
And Mike. He is. Oh, sorry.
Poles, he is here.
I thought he was earlier. I just couldn't see him. Welcome, gentlemen. Page 29 of your agendas. And gives us an update of activity and performance until the 31st of March. Mike, would you want to give us some further context and make some comments?
Thank you. To get into this, in your agenda paper, page 30, on clause 8, I've given some bullets there on what has changed from the last report that I provided. So the first point, and it runs through at a significant activity level. So you're looking at policy and planning there, and again, there's no change other than just signalling the momentum that is clearly occurring. environment, signalling there that work relating to lake snow research and the provision of some information around biodiversity practice, we're flagging there that that's deferred, so that's something new, reporting in this report. And also signalling that we're forecasting that perhaps at the end of the year we're not going to meet the number of dairy inspections that's targeted in the report. So again, that's something that is a change that's being signalled in this report. Community, signalling that the Dunedin head office replacement, we probably, it looks like we're not going to make that decision by this year end. Regulatory activity, no previous change from the previous report. And same for flood and protection and control works. Albeit there's a real strong focus here to get on the front foot with our planning work, our proactive work post the flooding. Safety and hazards, no real change there, albeit an improving outlook on the emergency management activity, and you'll see the colours changing there into a more positive forecast. And transport, some deferral on work is signalled in this report around feasibility study for the Dunedin Airport Service being pushed out into the new financial year. A loop service in Queenstown again, a year end, and they're just signalling a possible delay there. We still might have that completed by year end. And the other one of considering school bus policy, policy around school bus services in the RPTP, and again, that might be pushed out into the new financial year. So that's an analysis of the changes that have occurred in the key metric that, as reported at the last quarter. And then for a more sort of fuller summary on that, you can then move into your attachment, which is obviously the full report, and I've provided, again, the executive summary, again, at the activity, significant activity level. And again, that gives you a more detail as to what is going on across the organisation. And you've got two key graphs there for each activity. You've got your pie graph. That's giving you a quick look at your non-financials. And my apologies for that first graph there under policy and planning, that little black segment. That was me. That should be green. So looking at that, that's telling you there's 12 reported measures there, and the red bit signalling two previous ones that have already been reported to you around air quality standards and the regional pest management plan. So nothing new there. And again, stepping through to the environment, again, the pie graph's showing you that there's a red segment there, and there's two new things that have been signalled, as I've already said, around biodiversity and lake snow. And you look down at the financial graph, and it's telling you that we're looking at a potential underspend there, forecasted for year end. Again, flicking through to the next activity of community, again, there's really no change there compared to what was reported the last quarter, so the forecast holds. And then flicking through to regulatory. Similar thing. There's no change from previous report, and that pie graph there is showing you that out of the 9 reported measures, there's just one relating to processing of applications under flood protection bylaw, and again, that was reported to you at the last quarter.
Is that the issue of just resolved?
It's a matter of the days that we have to process that, and we were over the 20 days, so I think it was just relating to one consent. And again, a similar story as I've just laid out for flood protection and control works. Looking to forecasting to be financially on track. There's been a lot of hard work there to really recover from those floods and particularly get on the front foot around our proactive planning, and there's a lot of good work going on there. Safety and hazards, I've said there, again, no change, albeit the emergency management looking more positive in terms of the forecast. And that's largely around relating to the availability of our group controllers and our CDM response. And I've already talked about transport and there being two new changes there, as already flagged, around Mulligan's Road and the airport and school bus services. So thank you.
Well, no. Thanks, Mike. Questions? Councillor Laws.
There's a $3 million increase in expenditure, sorry, not expenditure, in income for government subsidies. I've looked at it and it says I think it's to do with buses. So it's a variance from budget. Is that correct? Is that budget? So when you say it's to do with buses in the notes, is that to do with income from more fares, or is that right?
Yeah, it's actually the next report, because this is non-financials. This has a little bit of financials, but that's the P&L in the next one. But just to touch on it, if you actually have a look at the surplus, there's an increase in the amount of government subsidies, which is around it's basically around the bus hub, and then there's an increase in the costs, because the bus hub was budgeted in the previous year or in prior years, so we actually didn't have the construction for it in this financial year.
Right.
So we didn't have the subsidy coming in from NZTA or the actual costs. So it's created a variance on both sides of the ledger. Unfortunately, when you haven't got the budget there, it's funded out of the transport reserve, so the funding is there.
Yep.
It's just both sides of it show up as a variance to the actual budget that was in year one of the LTP.
Councillor Scott?
Yeah, on a positive perspective, just to acknowledge that this is the first report for quite a while in this line where I think what's portrayed there is actually correct in relation to, say, page 106 talking in relation to rural water quality implementation. We previously, we've always had this green light, and I've challenged that. I think you've endeavoured to be a bit more honest and transparent about what's going on there, and I applaud that. Thank you. So, for example, under the water quality, you've said that we're previously not meeting the limits set out in the regional water plan, but water is improving, but at the end of the day, we're at amber. So I appreciate that. And your assessments are green, but there's various measurement work that are amber. And in fact, there's an acknowledgement that there's a red in the future in terms of using a risk-based approach and dairy farms and so forth. So thank you. And I suspect, the next aspect is to actually challenge, why, for example, with water quality, we've got amber for the future. Because ideally, you'd be hanging on to green that you're suggesting was the present. And so we need to talk about that. So we need to get a vision to achieve a green outcome for the future. But anyway, thank you. These are future conversations. We're getting a bit of a system to at least communicate honestly and transparently. Thank you. Your comment that the provision of good management practice on biodiversity is deferred, I'm not happy about that. And I'm even more unhappy, it is also likely that the planned number of dairy inspections will not be met. Look, this is the second year in a row. Look, here we were talking previously about resource and carrots and so forth and cutting, and that's actually outside of our core activity. Regulatory on dairy inspections is core activity. It's the second year in a row. I'm not happy.
Mrs. Gardner?
Okay. I hear you, and I understand your concern.
Yeah.
In terms of dairy inspections, As I said to you this morning, you know, there's been a significant amount of change in the compliance team in terms of staff. That said, this week I sent some ideas about how we might manage that differently to Mr. Winder in the hope that we'll discuss that next week when he's here. So it might not mean that we get a vehicle up every driveway, but it may well mean that we are able to do some work that allows us to spot gross negligence.
Okay, well, maybe Mr. Winder could visit the old dairy farm on the way down next week.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
Mrs. Gardner, then going to Councillor Brown.
The other thing I was going to say is when you look at risk and you look at the amount of non-compliance we've had for dairy farms, the fact that we're not visiting is reasonably low risk because the compliance levels have been high.
Well, that's a matter of opinion. As Mr. Winder is proposing, if he actually looks at it on a true risk management perspective outside of the dairy shed on the farm as well, I think you might be surprised. And that's why the water quality in those areas has been deteriorating for years, because we're not looking at the right things.
Yes, and
as I've been
part
saying
of,
this for 10 years.
Yep, as part of 6A implementation,
yeah.
You'll remember that we've got the priorities around compliance and the specific things we're going to look at around erosion, ponding, saturated soils, irrigation
ponds,
over bores,
tile drains,
all of that kind of stuff. So that's where 6A is going to take us.
Yeah.
We are also looking at 6A in terms of how we focus on the information that should have been prepared for Overseer, and doing a big campaign on understanding whether people are meeting that particular requirement of the permitted activity rules. So that's shortly to happen. So yes, I accept, and I don't agree that it's acceptable either, that we haven't achieved the dairy shed inspections. However, circumstance has prevailed, and so I am looking at another way where we can be sure we're at least capturing gross negligence.
Councillor Brown?
I'm just going to move the recommendations and say that I think in general, things are reasonably tidy. There's some red lights, but I think it's either timing or reprioritisation. I think generally it's quite tidy. And also if you look at on an individual project basis, you just realise the workload this council has to deal with.
Mm.
So I would certainly give it a pass mark.
Yep.
So.
Thank you. Is there a second for the recommendation? Councillor Neil, you were going to comment?
Yes, just
a question.
Because consciously we made a decision to target what we considered at-risk farms, which weren't hard to identify.
Oh, dairy inspections?
Yes, some dairy inspections. Yes. And so my understanding is you would be picking up those gross pretty well. So
yes.
I don't concur with Councillor Scott.
Don't worry, the rivers are clean, it's okay.
Yes, it's good. Good to hear, they're clean.
Yeah.
Put the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Deaker.
Like to say to Mike and Nick that the way in which this data is being presented to us is good. I'm finding it an interesting read, and I think I have read all 69 pages, whatever it was. But one of the things that showed to me was that this report or activity review needs to have a bit sharper editorial management, because I'm finding inconsistencies. For example, I think I got three different versions of what's happening at Lake Hayes with the monitoring buoy, or why things are not happening. And I'm not sure how this can happen, how one bit of the organisation says da-da-da-da-da, the other says door-to-door-to-door, and they're contradictory versions. And I'm wondering, as a councillor, what the hell is actually going on? And I'm sure this must be a very difficult thing to manage, because the data is coming in from all over the place. There may not be a central screen where it's all available. you've got to cut and paste and weld and tie stuff in together. But after all that has happened, it needs to have an independent set of eyes going through it and saying, hang on, that's not what it said on page 24. Page 39 says this. Where are the people who gave this data? How come they've got different pictures?
Mike, do you wish to respond to that? Or is
I can only I can respond from a process perspective in that I can assure you that the right person is asked to comment around specific indicators. So, in other words, indicate there's clear accountabilities behind the scenes that are system-driven around who are accountable to tell the story around these, you know, these many indicators that we have, and indeed the summarisation of each activity and how it's performing. So, yes, there is. We could do the overview of all that commentary better. You know, like anything, it takes resource. But yes, we could, and I believe we are getting better.
No question.
Compared to
this is a huge jump ahead.
And it's good that you're setting the challenge and setting the benchmark. That's exactly what we need. So, yep, I hear you.
All right, good discussion. It's been moved and seconded, Brown and Councillor Neil. I'm going to put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carry. Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Financial report. 9 months to the 31st of March. Summary of the Council's financial performance for the 9 months. Mr. Donnelly, anything you wish to...
Well, we touched on it just in the previous item, but there is a variance to the budgeted deficit. Obviously,
yep.
The actual deficit is bigger, but as I said, that's around the spend in relation to the bus hub that wasn't included in the budgeted number. Partially offset by the fact that we've got additional subsidies in relation to that expenditure.
Yes.
But we also need to work through, this is obviously the 9 month position for year end, we'll be working through there. We will have to look at what portion of that spend is capitalised, and there is also a portion that includes some of the expenditure that in turn will be passed back to the DCC and the assets that are vested to them. So there's a little bit of work to do in the accounting sense, but fundamentally that's where the biggest variance is in relation to the bus sub spend that wasn't in the budget.
Good, thank you. It's all perfectly explainable. Are there any questions for the financial report? Everybody comfortable? Councillor Brown, you happy to move that we receive the report? Is there a seconder? Councillor Kempton, no discussion. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you, Mr. Lanham. And Mr. Donnelly. All right, documents signed under the council seal. You'll see them there. Pretty standard.
I'm happy to move the recommendation.
Process, thank you. Several number of warrants, renewals. Move, Councillor Scott. Seconded, Councillor Lawton. Any discussion? Put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Report backs from councillors. Councillor Lawton, you'll.
That's a good one, Alan.
Got one there.
Next. Photos,
yep.
Well.
Any question of Councillor Lawton?
Very impressive.
No, thank you very much for that. Very interesting.
Yeah. Comprehensive. Councillor Deacon, we're on Councillor report backs, and we note your report over a number of days you've represented OIC. Thank you very much for laying the wreath on our behalf at Anzac Day.
A pleasure. I'll just take that as read, Mr. Chairman. The only one I'd like to expand on a bit is item 4.
Yes.
And I did comment on this informally at the last Communications Committee meeting. And I think my memory is right in saying the CE agreed to have a dig around a wee bit and see what other regional councils had done, because there may well be a model we want to have a look at.
Yes.
I'd like to take the idea on... to see whether it's got potential value for us as a council.
Yes.
to further pull our region together at the younger age level.
Yep. Get some feedback into
both at secondary and tertiary and employed young people who might well want to come together by distance communication and talk about the big ticket items that we're interested in.
Yes.
And how they could contribute or give us their perspective on the direction we should be going and that kind of thing. I'm just spouting off the top of my head. But I think there's potential there. I'm not going to die in a ditch over it, but I'd like to see us explore it and see whether there's a valuable model we could adapt to our region.
Great. And that reminds me, there's
the youth.
There's a youth. There's a launch or a speaker or something occurring in down here soon.
So there are two things. I've asked Mrs. Giddens to look into this. Also, she is going to represent us at this youth event, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it right now. But we're signing in support of it, which is probably can find it in my emails. I'll send it to you through email. But yeah.
Yep. Right.
I think we need to, I think we need to actually get somewhere on this one, Stephen. So can we actually move a motion to make sure that this does come back and we actually progress it? Because I'm scared it'll disappear in the ether.
No, it's not going to disappear because Mrs. Gardner's delegated the responsibility.
Is that the right person to be signing it, Sarah? Haven't you got a young person in your organisation you can sign on behalf of?
Well, I was invited and Stephen was invited to attend and so I delegated it to Sally.
Okay, all right. As somebody who's initiated a youth council in Whanganui, can I tell you, they are outstandingly good. They have a wide impact in the community, Michael. They only usually, the kids only usually serve about a year and then move on, but they take that year and it's a great way of getting schools as well as interested in it.
Yep.
But do it properly and spend the resources.
Thank you. I know that both the Waka Tapu and Upper Aspiring High have councils as well. It may in fact be that we look at how we bring those representatives together at some stage, which would actually be a really amazing experience for them as well. So, looking at different models would be very valuable.
And I know the Clutha District Council has a youth council.
Great. Yeah.
CODC or the Alexandra Community Board or Vincent Community Board always have a representative from Dunstan that attends the youth group on their behalf.
Could put them on one of our committees.
Well, no. So it has been delegated. It won't be forgotten about.
No.
And work in progress.
Written it down. So.
Yep. All right, good. Any other report backs from councillors? Councillor Bell.
Yeah, just want to say, Mr Chairman, I thoroughly also enjoyed the Balance Awards the other night and look forward to trying to get to Middlemarch to have a look at the winner's property. On the 6th of May, I also attended Tucker Beach opening, the safety improvements there.
Yes.
And I actually met the guy on Saturday in the hospital who designed the retaining wall, that part of the road that takes that up there, and it was done out of Alex, believe it or not, and it's quite unique. It is the only only design that's ever been used here in New Zealand, the way that they've put it together. So it was very, very interesting to know that it was done out of Alex. And he also said that he is going to be designing the Bowmont Bridge, and that's also being done out of Alex also. So it's quite good that Alex is still recognised council laws.
All right.
And I just also want to say that Sam Lisk from OFA has reported back to tell me that this is what he said. I asked him about the works that have just been done at the flood protection.
This is flood works on the Manurakea.
And this is how he says it. Bloody good step in the right direction. Can sleep at nights. Contractors have done a great job. Prep needs a little bit of rock along the protection work along the face to stop protection erosion. But it's a good step forward, and I have nothing but praise. So I just want to let the council know that we
So the Manuhiri Care has taken a couple of big chunks out and had a go at diverting itself in the last few floods. So this is some remedial works as a result of that. All right, no more councillor reports. Back to Councillor O'Neill.
I attended the opening of the new road between Broadway and Portobello. I would have been there anyway, but I wore my
RC hat
jacket.
Yep.
Because we gave the consents for the harbour and through the land transport. And it's magnificent. And if anybody, they should be, go down the peninsula and have a bit of a drive around. It's go and see where all your rates and taxes are going. Man alive, it's outstanding. Great.
Good. Good.
Just a gentle reminder, Mr. Chairman, that report backs from councillors are required to be written.
It's helpful. And, and you've got plenty of time prior to the next. You shouldn't need a reminder. We'll Kim or Liz do give a reminder, but, yeah, it is helpful. All right, we'll move.
That can be made verbally if it's a short one. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, well, it's helpful, particularly when you've got detailed likes of Councillor Lawton's, then you've got a chance to read it and understand it. So it's helpful if it's in the agenda.
And there's a record.
And there's a record.
And helpful if the reminders are not the morning of which we need them by the end of the day, if you've got the detailed report to create.
Kim emailed me and said, should I remind them? I said, yep. All right, item 15, recommendations from the committees. Now, there is an opportunity here to streamline this process and remove all... the adopt all the recommendations from all the committees at once. Are you comfortable to do that?
Well, can I just say on that, not after today's decision, no. So if we are going to pay more than mere lip service to the rhetoric that was cast around here today about committees being recommendatory and council makes the final decision, then to devalue council in that process would be wrong.
So I've no intention of devaluing anything, and there might be times where you would want to take them one at a time, depending on the recommendations from those committees, but there might be other times that we can handle it on bulk. So I've just suggested...
You're just saying for today?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, no, for today. This is just these... Okay. And I wasn't at the committees, so I can't... I'm not going to debate whether they want to renegotiate their recommendation or send it back, but it's an opportunity that's been offered.
I'm not going to object, but I'm just making the point.
All right.
Yeah, I would actually like to end the day agreeing with Councillor Laws and got us. How I got there. I think there's a discipline, and we should not break the discipline one by one.
That's fine.
For that very reason, because then you're splitting up the issues, and you can pick up on an issue in one committee. So I think it's a discipline, as much as I know you want to get out here as fast as me.
On that basis, the recommendations of the Communications Committee.
Yep.
Councillor Deaker, seconded. Councillor Kempton. Yep. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. The recommendations of the Finance and Corporate Committee. Aye. Moved by Councillor Brown. Seconded Councillor Robertson. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Recommendations of the Policy Committee. Moved Councillor Robertson. Seconded Councillor Lawton. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. The recommendation of the Regulatory Committee, Councillor Scott. Thank you.
Seconded
Councillor Neill. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. The recommendations of the Technical Committee. Somebody like to move them? Councillor Lawton. Seconder, please. Councillor Robertson. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Item 16 is we need to resolve to go into publicly excluded for the reasons identified. There are three matters to be dealt with there. I'm happy to move. Seconded Councillor Kempton. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you.